and Pickett.
I think he gets even deeper too, because if you look at his, he doesn't necessarily always use the best footwork to get him back to first base. And a lot of people will look at it and go, how good can he be if he can't organize himself back to the bag? When really it's his athleticism. He gets back any way he can, then makes you that pick. So it's just kind of this, it's this weird knife edge with him. There are a lot of like staunch Anthony Rizzo's not a great first base guys. And it's, I can't find myself there. I just think he's, I think he's pretty damn good.
You know the plays when you see him too. And it isn't just picking throws to first base for outs. It's a pickoff throw that might be off a little bit that he's still able to snag. And he positions himself well in holding runners on. And that is a significant skill set. If you're pulling a guy 6 inches closer to the bag than he would otherwise be, that can make a that could result in a Javier Baez spectacular tag. And you don't give the credit to the job the first baseman is doing to make sure that guy is just a tiny bit closer.
And sometimes it's as simple as I'm going to change how my feet are situated to make this catch. I'm going to do that, or I know that this throw is going to take me to a place where I might be in the way of the runner, and I have to figure out a way to catch that ball and get my lean right so that I don't get run over.
And crashing down on the bunt play, and that's what he does.
He's incredible
at that. He dares you to take his teeth out, and it's relentless, the pressure that puts on a batter, knowing he's coming steamrolling down like a linebacker.
Really glad the Cubs don't have Michael Franco at third, putting Rizzo in harm's way. How many times this series? I mean,
yeah,
I get it.
Sucks.
He's getting to it, and he's picking up the baseball, even if he's got to pull it out of his pants. But he's going to get somebody killed.
I mean, he's there to hit.
He's going to get somebody killed, Lawrence.
Yeah, he is. And all of us have had that teammate that you know is like, dude, can you just, like, right here. Like, this is the strike zone. Throw it here. And they don't. They throw it here and here and over there.
And be my best, my favorite corner, the National League dream corner infielders right now to watch have happen would be Michael Franco at third.
And Josh Bell.
And Josh Bell at first.
Big old Josh Bell.
Just watch it all happen.
He's so bad over there.
Hot garbage.
They're like, hey,
hell of a hitter.
You can hit, Josh. So listen, we're a National League team. So you go play first
over
base.
There.
While all that 6'5", 250, you go stand over there and
let
do that.
Let it hit you for that matter.
Yeah.
Just let it hit you.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So what else you guys been doing today? Anything fun?
Bears a lot fun. We had Bears list. We were revisiting 2 minutes of gold from Les's show where the aliens come out to play with the other aliens, apparently.
About what?
The robots. Bears list? Robots taking robots their jobs.
Magic rocks that fix your computer. That Les's show is the equivalent of the post office in Men in Black 2.
It's got a little bit of that mixed in, I would say, mixed in with Art Bell.
Maybe. Oh, right. Okay.
You know?
Yeah. If you put Art Bell in the copying machine in the post office and Men in Black 2, that's the radio version of that. I mean, you have giant pulsating baseball brain power coming in for these microphones, so we're going to get out of your way.
Well, thank you. We are going to have a lot of fun, and you are listening to Sports Radio 670 WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. And the top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves and San Diego are tied at one game apiece in the Western Conference Finals. The Wolves return home Monday for Game 6 at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at just $15. For playoff and ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Jabari Parker, eh? What'd you score in that game, Tony?
I don't remember. I couldn't even tell you.
How about I bet if we look it up, Tony scored like 20 points in that game.
I mean, if Jabari was guarding him.
Wow. Wow.
A few moments later.
And some people have described it as Butler saying that he might want to come back here and play with the assembled young guys that the Bulls have on their roster. Tony's making the same face that I'm making right now, which is no!
Hey, we good, fam.
Yes!
We good.
That is the correct answer,
you know,
Tony.
You know what this is.
It's
the Bulls' new role as the Chicago Leverage.
I know someone
Effie has been killing it today.
Yeah, Campy's on. He's on one today.
Make me a bicycle clown.
I would imagine that that is the first time in the history of Rick Camp's life at the Score that he was the focus of an open in a positive way.
I was just going to say complimented.
Yeah, that. How many? I got a lot of Chicago Leverage artwork thrown my way on Instagram by people. And we were doing the group chat for the show. Y'all are good. We're doing this. We are going to do the Chicago Leverage t-shirts. That's happening. This hour is being brought to you by Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 95th Street in Oak Lawn. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a tremendous show planned for you today. We do that every day, but we're bringing some people into the house, which I think is going to be great listening. So, 1 o'clock today, we are going to have a Cubs roundtable. We invited in Evan Altman from Cubs Insider. We invited in Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic and Tony Andracki from NBC Sports Chicago. We're going to sit around and let them talk Cubs. We're going to have a conversation about the team. Those are guys that are inside the clubhouse every day. So they'll have more information than you can handle, and it'll be a good time. We're just going to talk a little baseball. So 1 o'clock, not that we're not going to talk about the Cubs in the first hour of the show, but I just wanted to alert you to be around at 1 o'clock because we're going to have a fun roundtable. We like doing those. We like inviting people in to the studio and having conversations. A lot of times our Bulls roundtables are just the four of us, me, Tony, Campy, and we drag Cody out of his room to do it. It's nice when we have guests that are willing to come in and hang with us. And so 1 o'clock today, Cubs roundtable is going to be dope. But we start the show as we start all things with the rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Wednesday, May 22nd. Man, Tony, when we play this, this is kicking off the rundown, right? When we play this, there's going to be a lot of angry Blackhawks fans.
They've waited 49 years, and the St. Louis Blues are going to the Stanley Cup Final.
Let's go, Blues! Yeah!
Oh, and if you needed more evidence that Pam Beasley is trash, that was her cheering on the Blues. So there it is. Here's the thing about this. No one wants Boston to win either, right? So is there a way that they can play seven games and then just be perpetually in overtime in game seven? Like, they're just always skating and there's no end to it.
Do we have to root for the NHL to dissolve?
We have to root for a strike. That's who we have to root for. That the NHL somehow has a strike between now and the start of the Stanley Cup Final.
Let's do that hockey.
Well, I mean, a lot of Blackhawks fans don't want to do that hockey right now because the St. Louis Blues might win the Stanley Cup. And it's put us all... You are a trash human being, Pam Beasley. It puts us all in an awkward position. Do we root for Boston to win another championship in a calendar year, or the Blues? Like I said, seven-game series that never ends would be great. And then they just start the next season while they're still playing. Oh, well, I guess there's no champion for 2018-2019.
All the Blackhawks fans in Chicago, they were just all going to forget that this season even happened.
Yeah, the last two seasons.
And the one before.
What's the stat on the Blackhawks? They have not won a playoff series since they won the Cup.
Is that good?
It's not good. I'm going to go on record and say that is not... Winning a Cup is good, but not winning a playoff series since you won a Cup, not a good thing. Let's move on to baseball. Not a good thing last night for my Chicago White Sox, because Justin Verlander was out there just throwing gas, but Aloy's ankle seems to be okay.
Payoff pitch. Hit in the air, left field side. Jimenez has a long way to go. He slides, and he makes the catch in left field. to retire the side. We showed you how much space he had to cover, and he did it beautifully.
Look, it was a little clunky. I love Jason Benetti, but it was a little clunky, that play that Aloy made. It didn't matter. The Sox got beat 5-1 by the Astros. Verlander, 8 innings, 7 innings without giving up a hit. Struck out 12. Sox got one hit. One blank, blank hit?
Is he, you know...
Who? Verlander? Okay, so what you're saying is that you're confused on how a guy who looked like he was done 4 years ago has regained form and become one of the more dominant guys in the league? That's it.
Doesn't Detroit wear you down after a while?
It does wear you down. But, I mean, usually guys don't gain back velocity after throwing that many innings.
Yeah.
But, hey, the guy got married. He got reinvigorated. He got to he got to Houston, and you're on a winning team. Maybe those are the reasons that we see the type of performance from Justin Verlander that we've seen. How about the NBA? We all buried the Toronto Raptors way too soon.
So Toronto battles their way back into the series. It's all even at 2-2. The Bucks winning the first two in Milwaukee in convincing fashion. Raptors take two here in Toronto.
The Eastern Conference Final is now tied at 2 apiece. That highlight courtesy of TNT. The Raptors 120, the Bucks 102. Okay, we got ourselves a series while the Warriors have 9 days to rest before they're going to have everyone back. Like, Durant's going to be back. Cousins is going to be back. Hardaway is going to play. Like, everyone will be ready.
Chris Mullin.
Well, he's not doing anything right now, so you might as well get him ready to play. The only thing he's doing is the Felipe Lopez 30 for 30. By the way, if you haven't seen it, you should. It's tremendous.
And now they got Warriors classic style back and just insert Durant. And I've always said that the Spurs in the Miami series where they just smashed LeBron and the Heatles, that was the best basketball I've ever seen in my life. That may, this coming up finals, they may surpass that.
Warriors classic is a good thing. And I just, what's wrong with Kevin Durant? What's he got? What's he got, a calf?
Calf.
Does Steph just something? Just accidentally kick him in the calf? Hey, KD, boom. Sorry, man. I guess you're going to be out for the NBA finals. I guess we'll just have to go back to playing this beautiful style of basketball that can't be beaten.
People already forgetting those two straight finals MVPs.
Look, you're not wrong, but they're 30-1 when Steph plays and KD doesn't.
Have they lost a finals since they've had KD?
No, and again, you're not wrong. All I'm saying is that LeBron's not on the other side.
I'm just trying to keep everybody honest here because, boy, because of a couple games, everybody's forgetting what KD does.
It's 31 games now.
Yeah, 31.
It's 31 games, and here's what people forget, Campy. They forget that the other dude is a two-time league MVP.
Right.
And I think belongs in the GOAT conversation, and apparently Andre Iguodala agrees with me on that. He said recently to The Athletic that Steph is behind Jordan. That might be going a little far. But I think that he should at least be in the GOAT conversation. And our lead story on today's rundown. It's amazing watching the people on the text lines and on Twitter about the Blues. People, big man. As you should be. As you should be. The Cubs. Our top story today. The ninth inning, you needed some things to happen, and some things happened in the right way that allowed for some heroics.
Low and outside for ball four. The tying run is on base as Chris Bryant draws a leadoff walk here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
So Bryant gets on with a walk. We'll get to him in a little bit. Then Rizzo steps up.
Rizzo swings, lines one down the right field line. Fair ball. This will roll all the way to the wall. Bryant rounds third. He'll stay right there. Rizzo, a stand-up double.
Butters put the stop sign up, and you're going, okay, I get it, because you don't want to get him thrown out. There's nobody out. And then things got a little wacky, and you get the tying run home because of a cue ball that Albert Almora Jr. hits.
Almora chops one toward the mound. It is scooped up by the pitcher. Home, goal, not in time. Bryant safe. Cubs tie up the game.
Yeah. And how about winning the game? Joe says, hey, Javi, go grab a bat. We need you right now. Javi's like, wait, what? Whether or not he's going to get the run in? I think people know, Tony. I mean, we're reviewing it, yes, but...
Come on, theater of the mind, Lawrence.
All right, my bad. So then... Wait. Stop it, and I'll start it again, okay? All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. And then there was incredible drama as Javier Baez, with a hurt heel, picked up a bat in the pinch-hitting role of his life. All of Wrigley Field was breathless with anticipation. Would El Mago come through one more time? The answer, right now.
Here comes the pitch. Baez swings. Line drive. Base hit down the right field line. Fly the W. The Cubs win. Rizzo scores on the pinch hit walk-off single by El Mago, the magic man. Magnifico tonight.
My man Zach Zabin on the call last night because Pat's got a couple days off. So Zach will have the game today on the score and Pat will be back tomorrow. But yeah, I love Zach. Can I hear that one more time? Like, kill the music. I got to give my boy Zach his proper due because you want to know how you call a walk-off on the radio? Like, you call the action and then you have your stuff ready. Hit that for me one more time, Tony.
Here comes the pitch. Baez swings. Line drive. Base hit down the right field line. Fly the W. The Cubs win. Rizzo scores on the pinch hit walk-off single by El Mago, the magic man. Magnifico tonight.
Let's go, Zach. Let's go. That's how you do it, youngsters. That's right there is how you do it. So that is the rundown for your Wednesday, May 22nd. This segment is brought to you by Anthony Buick GMC in Gurnee. Get amazing savings during GMC Truck Month. Save 19% on a new 19 GMC Acadia and save 22% on a new 19 Buick Encore. Anthony Buick GMC in Gurnee. For offer details, visit anthonygurnee.com. You can't tell me that Zach Zabin didn't have you fired up. It's the combination. It's El Mago comes off the bench. He's hurt, but not that hurt. Fans are screaming because the Cubs are rallying in the ninth. And then Zach, like, put all his emotion into it. Fantastic. We need to take a break. I would like to talk about the Cubs. One Cub in particular, because the numbers are amazing. I'll share them with you next here on The Score.
Theo Epstein joins Danny Mac and Shep, who's filling in for Danny Parkins, at 3:30 today. Do not miss what Theo has to say about all the current Cubs stories today at 3:30 during the McNeil and Parkins Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Cubs, a radio.com sports station.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Ferguson Pro Pickup. No one likes to see any athlete suffer a serious injury, which is why it was sad when Reuben Foster was carted off the field Monday during Washington's first offseason drill with a season-ending knee injury. But there were many who, upon hearing the news, thought of one word: karma. Karma not necessarily directed at Foster, but at the organization that signed him within 2 days of his being released by the 49ers after a second charge of domestic violence within a year, worth noting. Washington signed him before the charges were dropped, and knowing he had pleaded down a weapons charge in addition to the domestic violence issues. They gambled on a talented player, regardless of character issues, that caused his team to cut him and no one else to touch him. That's the Dan Snyder mantra. Two things matter: winning and making money. Foster doesn't deserve to go through this. Snyder is another story. I'm John Feinstein.
CBS Sports Radio.
Friday, join Sycamore Speedway for great racing, including Powder Puff, Figure 8, one-on-one drags, and Demolition Derby. Saturday, it's Super Late Models, Dirt Late Models, Street Stock, Pure Stock, and Bubblegum Races for the kids. SycamoreSpeedway.com.
Dan Bernstein for my friends at Aloha Restoration. The weather in Chicago's warming up, but the rain is coming, the floods are coming, the mold.